It is a pleasure to be with you this morning as we've gathered together to make much of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been walking through the book of Hebrews, and we're in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16, If you have your Bible, go ahead and grab your Bibles, open up to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. When you've arrived to the text, say word. Word, can you please stand? We stand out of reverence to God's holy and righteous word. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out of a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac, Jacob, heirs of him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as innumerable grains of the sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles of the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. And if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. Verse 16. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for your word and thankful for who you are. Be with us, O Lord, as we listen to your word. Speak to our hearts. As we are engaged, Holy Spirit, we are in need of you. So speak to us. Teach us what we do not know. Make us what we are not. And give us what we do not have. And God's people says, amen, amen. You may be seated. The title for today's sermon is Abraham's Faith. Abraham's Faith. Scripture mentions that there are two ways to which people ought to walk. We have a perfect example of this in the book of Psalm. So the two ways that we ought to walk is the righteous way or the wicked way, right? So either people are walking righteously or people are walking wickedly. And we see this exactly in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, he mentioned, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but delight in the law of the Lord, and in the law he meditates day and night. And then he mentions also in verse 4, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. The two ways of life, the righteous way or the wicked way. Scripture also tells us that there are two gates of life. The narrow gate, that only few people find that gate and pursue that gate. And then there is the wide gate, that many, many, many people follow and pursue the wide gate. Scripture also teaches and tells us that there are two ways by which we ought to walk and live our lives as well. What are they? Well, we live by faith, or we live by sight. Do you get it? We live by faith, or we live by sight. And this is the premise of the author of Hebrews here. Hebrews chapter 11 is all about living by faith and not sight. So here we notice that he includes Abraham in the hall of faith. And he needed to do that because thus far he mentioned to us Abel, and he mentioned Noah, and he mentioned Enoch. But notice very carefully who the author of Hebrews is writing to. He's writing to Jewish readers. And what he's doing here, he wants them to see how faith was in the Old Testament. You had to have faith in God to be saved. Thus far, talking about Abel, Enoch, and Noah, they would say, okay, that's fine. These guys had faith. But the Jewish people saw themselves, the origin of the Jewish people of Israel, it began with Abraham. As a matter of fact, they saw Abraham as the fountainhead of Israel. So if you wanted to convince them that to believe in God, you must have faith and not works, but faith produces works, you needed to show them of their father Abraham. Show us of this faith in Abraham. And this is exactly what the author of Hebrews is doing here. He wants them to see how Abraham had faith in Yahweh and the coming Messiah. So important. So in other words, coming closer, and don't miss this, embracing Christ is to walk in accord with Abraham. So Jewish folks, as I'm writing this to you, if you really believe that you're from Abraham, your father Abraham believed in Jesus. He embraced Christ. But you today are rejecting Christ. This is his premise here. The New Testament writers, this is exactly what they did. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 7. Notice very carefully what it mentions. It says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. So this morning, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if there is genuine saving faith, if you have repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus, you are sons and daughters of Abraham. This is exactly what he's doing here. As a matter of fact, James, the half-brother of Jesus, mentioned this, and he tells us that Abraham was called God's friend because of his faith. Friends, Abraham is thus the undisputed model of faith. This one character right here, the Jewish people would focus on and say, oh, wow, show me Jesus in Abraham's life. And this is exactly what the author of Hebrews has done. He is a great example of faith. So this morning, what I want us to observe is this. I have 4 points. But for the sake of time, we will focus on only 2 points. We got a lot going on this morning. And praise God for Josiah and his dad, Keith. And there's this baptism. We have the Lord's Supper that we will partake and observe. We have food after where we get to fellowship. So I've done a favor. I've given you this great favor. And the favor simply is not to spend an hour preaching this. But the favor is also not to rush through this. So we'll have part one, and the next week we'll focus on part two. So Abraham's faith, right? We see this. Point number one, we must observe the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. We see this in verse 8, the obedience of faith. And two, the confidence of faith. The confidence of faith. We see this in verse 9. Just two verses, but it is rich. Because of the life of Abraham and God working mightily in Abraham. So listen very carefully. All eyes up. Pay close attention to this. I do not know where you are with God. Maybe there are some of you in this room that you don't know God as your personal Savior. you've never repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And perhaps there are some of you in this room that you have given your life to Jesus, but man, the idols in this world, in your heart, is pulling you away where you're not trusting God like you should. So if that's you this morning, I want you to do two things for me, please. One, cast away all distractions and listen to the Word of God. And two, cast yourself upon the loving arms and hands of God. Because God wants to heal you. God wants to mold you. God wants to shape you to look more and more like Jesus Christ. So if you don't know Jesus, you can know Jesus this morning. If you do know Jesus and not living like you should for Jesus, Jesus wants to help you this morning. So, saints, oh people, oh friends, cast your eyes upon Jesus this morning. This is why we are here. Not to be entertained, but we are here to receive the Word of God. So with that said, point number one, the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. We see this in verse 8. Reading your own Bibles in verse 8 of chapter 11. He mentions, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. So the first thing we must observe and understand is, who is Abraham? Abraham is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 12. And we are told that God called Abraham, or Abram at that point, out of Ur. And Ur was located on the Euphrates River, which is now southern Iraq. So here is Abraham in this place, Ur, and it was a city, and it was very sophisticated. They had a lot of good things happening there. For example, education was a major thing in that city. For example, they had records upon records of religion there. So many of the people were very religious people, serving multiple gods. But the thing that you need to understand about Ur is that it was a very pagan society. Very, very pagan. As a matter of fact, one of the things that happened there through archaeologists looking and doing all kinds of stuff, they basically found a cemetery. And in this cemetery, they had this subscription of rituals that would happen. They would sacrifice human. Human sacrifices happen on a consistent basis in Ur. And here is Abraham, who is a part of this culture, a part of what's happening, and God called him out of Ur. Now wait one second, and you must get this. Because the problem that many of the Jewish people had in this time, and perhaps you're having this problem, is to think, maybe Abraham was such a good man, such a righteous man, that God pulled him out of Ur. It must be something about Abraham that God saw, and God said, that's my guy. This is exactly what the rabbis in Jesus' time, and even when the author of Hebrews was writing this book, believed. Many of the rabbis believed that God was pleased with Abram because of his good works, because he was a righteous man, because he pursued the right thing, and everyone else pursued the wrong thing, because he was such a good man. Friends, this is false. Coming closer, and don't miss this, because if you miss this, you will miss how God saves souls. God doesn't look down from heaven and see if you're good, and then God gives you faith. No, we are all sinners before God. You get this. For the wages of sin is death. No one seeks God. No, not one. Abraham was an idolater according to Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. Joshua goes back and he talks about Abraham, and he says, even our father Abraham was an idolater. He served many gods. He was perhaps a part of the human sacrifices happening. He was a pagan. So what is different about Abraham? Nothing is. It's everything that's different about our God. God saved Abraham because of God's grace. And friends, coming closer, this is consistent with Scripture. How are you saved? For by grace are you saved, through faith. It is the grace of God that saved us through faith. And this is exactly what we notice here. What is happening? God called Abraham out of Ur. Why? Because of his grace, friends. Because of his grace. You know, what I love about this is simply this. As we see the faith of Abraham, we see the faith of Abraham happening, working in him and through him. And the evidence of Abraham's faith is his obedience to God. Well, how do you know that Abraham had genuine faith? Simple. He obeyed God. This is the fruit of genuine salvation. So don't say, man, I gave my life to Jesus, I've repented, I have faith, but you are not living for Jesus. Do you get it? Your life is not different. You're not obeying Jesus. There are many in this world that are saying this. Man, I gave my life to Jesus, but you know what? I'm living my life for me. No. We see it in the life of Abraham, that he gave his life to God. God called him. God saved him by grace. And true faith results in obedience to God. Coming closer and write this down. Abraham's obedience was thus an outward evidence of his inward faith. An outward evidence of his inward faith. But there are two things that we must understand and see about Abraham's obedience. Notice with me very carefully. First, it was prompt. I love what the Greek translation does here. It's in the present tense. And because the author of Hebrews put this verb in the present tense, this is what he is alluding. He wants you to understand that as God is speaking to Abraham, and God tells Abraham to leave Ur and to follow me, to go, before God can even finish the sentence, Abraham is obeying. God's command is still ringing in Abraham's ears, that he went home and packed all of his belonging and left. His obedience was prompt. Friends, we must see this. We must get this. I find, and let me say this to you, coming closer, and you might be thinking to yourself, man, is my obedience prompt? When God speaks, do I act quickly? And maybe all of us, or many of us, are saying no. And let me tell you why. Reason number one is because we have idols in our lives on a consistent basis. And what false idols can do to us prevents us from hearing from God and to obey God. What idols do is that we have an emotional attachment to them. And when God says to do something, we say, oh, no, God, no. There must be another way, because I want to protect this idol, this thing that I love so much. So the way that we can listen to God promptly like Abraham is first to kill the idols in our hearts. Be honest with yourself. What are you idolizing? What are you so emotionally attached to that's preventing you from obeying God? And sometimes those idols can be good things, like your children. Man, you love them so much, but then you put them above God. It can be good things, like your work, that God has given you a job to provide for your family, but you cannot stop working. Cannot stop. It could be good things, raising your children. It could be good things like money. Money is not a bad thing, but the love of money is the root to all kinds of evil. Do you get it? Do you get it? What idols do you have in your life that you need to kill so that you can hear from God? When I read this text and I see that Abraham was prompt in his obedience to the Lord, the first thing I started doing was to look in my own heart. Kevin, why is it so hard for you to be prompt? Well, this is one, idols, to a lack of knowing God deeply. There is not a pursuit of knowing God deeply. Listen to me very carefully, and I'm going to move from this. A lot of us have a surface knowledge of the salvation, but we are not diving deeply in the Word of God. The more you know God, the greater your obedience will be for God. Don't miss this. You have your Bible, read it. Spend time knowing God deeply, and the more you know Him, the greater your obedience will be for Him. This is what the Apostle Paul mentions in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Amplified Version. I love this. It's the only time you're going to hear me reading from the Amplified Version. My determined purpose is to know Him and to become more thoroughly acquainted with Him. What a great way to capture Paul's thought, to know God deeply. And the more I know God, the greater my obedience will be. So idols in our lives, kill it. Know God deeply. And I could see that in the life of Abraham. Nate Saint was one of the five missionaries who were killed by the Aka Indians. And he once said this. Listen, he once said that his life did not change until he came to grips with the idea that obedience is not a momentary option. It is a die-cast decision made beforehand. Now, in view of what we know about Nate Saint, that he was killed by those Indians, and he had the gun to protect himself, but he chose to die, he made that decision before that he was going to obey God no matter what. We get it, Nate Saint. So we as Christians, it's not a momentary decision. No, it's a die-hard decision. That God, I will follow you no matter what, God. I'll follow your word no matter what. No matter what the world is saying. No matter what my boss is saying. No matter what my spouse is saying or my children is saying. I will follow you. We need the faith of Abraham. We do. We do. Second, notice his obedience. His obedience, it was blind. What do you mean his obedience was blind? Well, God here tells Abraham to go. And God is not telling Abraham where he will go. Just leave Ur and go. Abraham has no idea where he's going. As a matter of fact, his destination was revealed to him later, that it would be Canaan. But when God first called Abraham, God did not tell Abraham where he was going. And Abraham, before God can even finish the sentence, went home, packed all of his belongings, and went and followed God. Prompt. It was also blind. Kent Hughes states, we must not imagine that we have faith if we do not obey God. If we do not obey God. Here are some questions to self-diagnose ourselves. Listen very carefully. Are we truly obeying God's word to us? Are you? Or are you picking and choosing what you're going to believe in the Bible? Oh, are you truly obeying God's word? Has He been calling us to a specific task or action? But are we passively ignoring it Is God calling you to do something right now in your life that you know without a doubt it's God asking you to do this because of Scripture, but you are ignoring it because you love your idols? We must act promptly. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Secondly, notice with me very carefully, the confidence of faith. The confidence of faith. What attitude should we have when there is faith? It is confidence. It is confidence. We see this in verse 9. Notice very carefully what happens in verse 9. Abram's faith here, we see it in two ways, right? Two sense of confidence. One in particular, he was confident that God would protect him. God would protect him. We see this in the text, that God calls Abraham to leave Ur and to go to a foreign land. Now for us, this might not be great faith as we're looking at this. For example, if God says to you to leave Tippito and go to Homa, okay, God, Tippito and Homa, about the same. I'd definitely rather Tippito, right? To leave Louisiana and go to Mississippi. Okay, God, that's going to take faith. It's a measure of faith. But Mississippi is not too hard. But I want you to observe exactly how tough this was for Abraham. Back in the days in Abraham's time, your protection came from your family and your community. It was very dangerous for you to travel to be a sojourner, to leave your people and to go to somewhere that you have no clue where you're going. It's putting a bullseye on your back to tell people to steal from you and to kill you. This was not an easy task for Abraham to leave his protection and to go and follow where God wants him to go. Do you get it now? There is great confidence in God and what God is calling Abraham to do. God would be his protection. In light of the fact that Abraham left Haran and traveled to the land that he did not know is indeed a remarkable act of trust in God. Friends, come in closer and get this. Trust in God creates confidence in God. Trust in God creates confidence in God. Secondly, what can we tell about Abraham's confidence? Confident that God will protect him. But secondly, in the text, we notice that he was confident to live a counter-cultural life. What do you mean by this, Kevin? Notice in the text that he is called to go to a foreign land. And what's beautiful about this text is that Abraham is called to go to a foreign land, but his entire life, he will never possess that land personally. God called Abraham to leave Ur and to travel to Canaan. And while he was a Canaan, he was just an outsider. He never possessed any land in Canaan. As a matter of fact, the only land that he possessed in Canaan was the land they gave him to bury his wife Sarah at Hebron. That was the only land that Abraham ever possessed physically. It is as if God will say to you guys, go to St. Lucia, and I will give you St. Lucia. And then you go to St. Lucia, and you have your camper, and you live it in St. Lucia, and you move from the north of St. Lucia to the south of St. Lucia, you never become a citizen of St. Lucia, and you die, and that possession was never given to you necessarily. That takes great faith. Do you get it? Do you get what God is saying to Abraham here? But Abraham had confidence in God. But notice this as well. As Abraham is in Canaan, he lived a different life. He wasn't anti-culture, but he was counter-culture. What's the difference here, Kevin? Notice for yourself here that Abraham was still a part of the culture. He was a part of politics in the culture. He was a part of trade in the culture. He was a part of the culture altogether, but he was different. And this is exactly what we can learn about Abraham here. Our confidence in God should cause us to be counterculture, that we live differently in this world, that we are still a part of this world. We still go to school. We still work. We still have bank accounts. We still attend different festivals, right? We still eat the food that they eat here. We still take part of certain things here. We are part of the culture, but we are called to be counterculture. We're called to be different. We're called to be salt and light in this world. How do we do it? We do it by living differently. Friends, it is a dangerous thing when a Christian begins to feel permanently settled in this world. You heard what I said? It is a dangerous thing when Christians begin to believe or think that they are permanently settling in this world. We do not belong to this world. So we live in this world. We worship God as we are doing certain things. But we stand against heresy and sin in this world. We're not called to be like the Arminians. Or we're not called to be like the Essenes, who were separatists, who pulled themselves away from the culture. No, we are called to be a part of the culture, but we're called to live differently. Friends, this is very important. Come in closer and don't miss this. This application is very important for us today. Listen, we are living in a world today where we find the pressure to conform to the patterns of the world more than ever before. If you do not act like the world, what happens? You are canceled. You are persecuted. We live in a world where conformity is the norm. We live in a world today where biblical illiteracy is high. People do not even know of the normal stories, the easy stories, the simple stories that you learn about Noah, Jesus walking on water. People have no clue about the Bible. We're living in a world where biblical behavior is low. So friends, what do we do? We are called to be counterculture. Be different. Act different. Live in this world, but have great conviction in Christ. And the way you do this is by following the word of God. Do you notice that Abraham was called to be counterculture? And in his faith, we see great confidence. But follow me and listen very carefully. Have we stepped out in obedience to our individual call? Are we living in such a way that in this world that people can see the difference in you? You know what's funny? And it's still funny after 24 years. I've been in the U.S. for 24 years. And you think my accent would be a little different, but it's not. I still speak like a St. Lucian. Certain words I say sound like a St. Lucian, and I can't do nothing about it. It is what it is. I try to sound Cajun, I cannot. So when I meet people, a lot of time the first thing they say to me is, you're not from here, huh? And I'm like, duh. No, I'm not from here. You hear the way I speak? I'm not from here. They could tell the difference just by my accent. In the same way, I think, and I believe, people need to see the difference in us as Christians. Just by the way we live, by the way we talk, the things we do, and we make much of God. At the moment they see us and they talk to us for 5 minutes, you're not from here, huh? No, I'm from heaven, buddy. I belong to Christ. Oh, something's different about you. Yes. This is exactly what we must understand here about counterculture. So with that, friends, think about Abraham's faith. Let's consider what his faith produced. It produced great obedience for Christ and great confidence in God. How is your obedience? And how is your confidence this morning? Turn to God, emulate the faith of Abraham, and love God deeply. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful again for your word and for what you're doing, O Lord. Speak to our hearts, mold us and shape us. It's our prayer is to be conformed into the likeness of Christ. And for that to happen, you must reveal our sins and you must reveal your grace to us. So God, as we are asking you to work in our hearts, let us not condemn ourselves, no, but let us find great conviction and love for you. So speak to our hearts, O Lord, as we make much of your name this morning. In your mighty and precious name, amen, amen, amen.